Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
The highways that wind and wander over mountains and valleys and deserts and plains. I guess I drove about all of them. 'Cause for the past 25 years now, the cab of a truck has been my home. And it'd be kind of hard for me to settle down and not be on the go. Well, I remember the first truck I drove. I was so proud I could hardly wait to get home to show my wife and little boy. And my little boy was so excited like when he saw his first snow. He wasn't old enough to say too many words. He just kept a hollering, "Giddy up, go, Daddy, giddy up, go." So that's what I named the old truck, Giddy Up, Go. Oh, things wasn't too bad.
What's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. Coming at you live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Subscribe. It's Redneck and Eyes. You can get that at our website, redneckandeyes.com, and check it out. And a special sponsor to our show is Load to Ride Transportation. That's LTR Transportation. And you can check them out at LTRTransportation.com. They're a great sponsor of ours, a great, good sized trucking company out of Denver, Colorado. And they've been really supportive of us and checking us out. So you can give them a look up over there and give them a shout and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And don't forget, that's LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day today, a special time of year that we like to celebrate out here. And give a shout out to all those super dads out there, especially the ones out there trucking over the road. You know, it's hard. It's hard to be away. And I was trying to think of a cool song that is a trucking song that represents fathers. And I really always loved Red Sabine, and I loved Giddy Up Go. And it was always special to me, so it was great. A lot of other things going on in the news this week. So
Dad used to drive a truck.
There was a...
That's what Mom talked about.
It looks like a larger shortage of gas supplies in Colorado. And a lot of experts say that's linked to the driver shortage. And there's a good article, a news report about that. We'll get into that a little bit. And then prosecutors up there in Minnesota, they agreed to drop the charges against that tanker driver that was swarmed by protesters up in Minneapolis. So that's good news. And you know, just some odds and ends that we're talking about. And then it says here, 31 arrested after the pipeline protesters attached themselves to a semi-truck hauling drilling equipment. So we might chat about that a little bit later. And, of course, taking your calls and talking about trucking and life on the road and all things trucking and then some. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. So happy Father's Day, and let's get to it.
As we go roaring down the road, and me staring at little sign that reads, Giddy Up Go.
You gave to me when I looked at you.
closing long tonight, drinking our blues away here at this bar. We've been burned by love, so I won't ask to pour out your heart. But would you dance with me? And I'll ask the band to play some old George Strait and a little Wayne too. Baby, take my hand. Would you dance with me under these neon lights? Let's let yesterday go, let the good times flow, it'll be alright.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandis.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I.
Kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star. Diane's debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on chili dog, outside taste freeze. Diane sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hands between his knees. Jackie say, hey Diane, let's run off behind the shady trees. You
shivered off those Bobby Brooks, let me do what I please. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. They walk on. Best James Dean. Well then there Diane gotta run off to city. Diane says, baby, you ain't missing nothing. But Jack say, oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Oh yeah, let's say life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. We appreciate everybody joining us tonight. You can call in at 516-387-1733 and just listen along or be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And we're always appreciative to have everybody join us here tonight. We appreciate everything everybody's doing out there. And don't forget to check out our website at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody's support and everything out there. Just to give everybody a little heads up, we are a small little 501 charity organization devoted to educating truck drivers and of course the regular general public about trucking industry in general. And what we try to do is to help the public drive or operate their vehicles better around big trucks. We got a few videos on YouTube explaining that, talking about following distance and of course space management, turning, stuff like that, to talk to the four-wheelers about how trucks operate and what they should be looking for when they see trucks in that situation. And you can, like I say, you can check that out on our YouTube channel. We're really, really proud of that. So dive in. A couple of things going on this week, what I noticed, and the top of the story was another issue relating to driver shortage. Of course, this is talking about how there's gas pumps not being refilled, where there's a lot of gas pumps that are staying out of order, there's no gas available and all that, and they're devoting it to driver shortage. Now, there's a good little news article. It's out of the Denver 7 channel, I guess Channel 7 News is what it is. It's the local ABC channel there, and it's a pretty good little in-depth little article about, you know, what's going on. And a couple of things they don't mention, but a couple of things they do mention. And I was going to lay it all out here and see what you guys thought about it. and it's pretty good. So
travel and why gas prices are so painfully high right now.
First, RCB Cotton is exploring why Metro gas stations are running out of gas and what they're doing to try and get things back on track.
Giving people what they need is a big part of the job when you're working behind the counter.
Gonna be it for you?
But this week, there's one thing that Daniel Mulhauser wishes he could get in front of.
Premium, unleaded, whatever octane percentage you need, we're out of it all.
On Friday, at this Circle K in Lakewood off of Kipling, pumps were bagged up and signs were posted. All a clear message. There's no gas here. And driver response?
See them pull up, they look at the pumps. So sometimes they'll drive away. Other times they'll come in and ask to be sure.
Are you
and
sure you're
the
out?
First day that Mulhauser has had to deliver the bad news to customers. Last week,
we had 6 days where we only had diesel. We had no unleaded. We had no premium.
These bad pumps were also spotted in southeast Colorado, in Pueblo and Cannon City.
I've been told by my manager that this is all due to the fact that there are not enough truck drivers to deliver the gas to all the gas stations that need it. So, you know.
And he's not wrong. Industry experts tell us a shortage of truck drivers has led to supply chain problems like this. No gas.
Well, the truck driver shortage has been going on for several years. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the baby boomer drivers that are out there in their
this
late
guy,
60s and 70s
he talks about a few
are
cool
starting
things.
To get out of it, going to retirement.
Harold Trent directs the United States Truck Driving School. He says another contributing factor to the shortage, the COVID-19 pandemic. 2020 brought less travel, so the demand for gas went down, and many drivers were either laid off or left to other industries.
They've moved on to other positions where they're getting a little bit better pay, a little bit more home time, a little better benefits.
So,
there's other
so you get paid
to
better
fuel. Truck driver
not hauling
have
gas.
To have a hazardous materials endorsement
Think
on
about
their
that.
License.
A lot of potential drivers are just not interested in hauling hazardous materials because of the danger and nature of the job.
Or it just doesn't pay enough.
Don't qualify.
And there's a lot of things that can knock a potential candidate out of the hazardous materials section of the CDL with regards to stuff that's on their criminal background.
But DU professor and supply chain expert Jack Buffington says there are some solutions.
There's different market segments that trucking companies need to appeal to. Women, minorities, because it's been very much of a male-dominated industry.
But finding more workers from different demographics will take some time.
The industry is continuing to try to market to you know, to get people from the military, to get people, you know, from trade schools, from high school. But it's a difficult situation.
We've currently got 4 females in our classes right now, and we've seen an average of about, maybe 6 a month female applicants.
Meanwhile, Nathaniel Mulhauser is patiently waiting behind the counter to give people more of what they want, gas included.
It's sending people around everywhere. It's giving us a hard time.
CB Cotton, Denver 7.
Okay, yeah, that's it there. See, get back, there we go. So, yeah, a couple of interesting points that were made on there. So I thought the guy that was directed the truck driving school, he had a few good points talking about getting – he mentioned it. He mentioned getting paid better, and I thought it was funny because it's like, so you could do a job where you get paid better than you would if you were hauling gasoline. So think about that. Gasoline is probably the most dangerous thing to haul other than, you know, explosives and stuff like that. But you're talking about one of the most common things being hauled and potentially dangerous, and you got to know what you're doing. And it just doesn't pay. I mean, I don't know. To me, if I get paid pretty good doing what I do, and I still haul a few hazardous material, but it is, you know, technically drive-in. And so if they were hiring somebody or they wanted me to go work like pulling tanker and I wouldn't be making any more money, I don't know if I would do that. It's just not that good for me to do that. I make this good money over here not hauling gasoline, and you want me to make just as much money or less hauling gasoline? You know, I mean, like I said, there might be people out there to say it's not that dangerous or it's not dangerous or whatever, but you know, it's I don't know. There's so many potential problems because you are you know, press for time, push to always make, you know, you're doing a lot of deliveries. So, you know, I see guys knocking it out. They do great work. I don't know how much money they make. I hope they get paid pretty good, but I don't know if I would do it. And I think that's a lot of things that you're talking about people not willing to do. I mean, let's just face it. There's a lot of people out there that probably would be good at truck driving, but they don't want to do it. They'd rather go, you know, dig ditches or work in fast food, because they don't want to be gone, or they don't want to have to go over the road, or they just don't like driving. You know, and they want to make good money, but when, you know, you can get into a career that makes good money, they're just not willing to do it. I know truck drivers that have, you know, okay jobs. They could get better jobs if they're willing to relocate somewhere else, and they're not willing to do that. So they're, you know, it's like, okay, you know, do whatever you want to do. So to me, one of the things that they really didn't touch on that much is the pay. I mean, if there really was a driver shortage, if you were having a hard time getting people to come to you to employment, that means that you're doing a high risk job that doesn't pay that much. It's kind of just like doing anything else, whether you're going to go, you know, drilling for oil, deep sea diving, welding, all that stuff. When there's a job to be done and nobody's willing to do it, you got to pay the money. And so if they're not out there paying the money, that means there's nobody coming. Talking about like the other issues they raised with COVID. I mean, there's always a driver shortage. I can understand that because the gas was not being used and other drivers switched. Well, again, that's what he said. They got out of it and they started doing something else where they got a better job. Either they got it where they realize it's more consistent doing this job over here, or it might not pay as much, but it's less stressful, or it pays better, bottom line. So things like that, you know, because of COVID, it wasn't that the drivers quit driving. They just started doing something else. And then the one thing that they didn't point out, which they did kind of scam a little bit, but I always thought was a big deal, was just good drivers, reliable drivers. And being that you're hauling gasoline, first off, they talked about how you could get rejected about hauling hazardous material. If you were a truck driver and you said, okay, I'll haul gasoline, well, you can't get certified to haul hazmat because you've got some kind of background come back where you're not qualified. You know, the FBI did a background check or whatever, or you just didn't pass the test. You're not qualified to haul hazmat. You couldn't get the certification done for your CDL. That comes back. But also, if you do get into something, whether in truck driving, I don't know about other jobs. If you're out there doing a different job other than truck driving, and this is common for what you do and what goes on in your industry, you know, let me know, because what usually happens in truck driving is that if you're a truck driver and you go from job to job, or if you decide you're just suddenly just going to quit and not show up, they all remember that stuff. All these, especially these bigger carriers, especially these preferable carriers, you know, the ones that are really, really hard on time and hard on, you know, being making delivery appointments on time and stuff like that. If you don't show up or if you just go to another job and not tell your other employer that you're leaving, what will happen is they won't hire you back. So when they talk about driver shortage, they're getting plenty of applications and they're getting people reapply. They're getting drivers saying, hey, I want to come back to work for you. They're not going to hire them. They're not going to hire them back. And they get these other applicants where they have a bad work history, or they've had accidents, or, you know, like I said, just work history where they're not reliable, not showing up on time. You know, I'll just tell you in general, at the carrier I work for, they had a lot of applicants, and two of them lied on their application, where the reason for leaving last job is they left. They didn't get fired. Well, they got fired because one of them is he had an accident and didn't report it or whatever. And the other one was that he was a jerk, you know, and they said, you know, we can't deal with you anymore. Get out of here. And so when he reapplied for the other carrier, they were like, well, you know, why'd you leave? Oh, I left because, you know, I you guys were hiring and I wanted a better job. And that wasn't the case. So because trucking companies, I guess it's better that they check up on this stuff because, you know, if you're giving an individual, you know, $100,000, $200,000 worth of equipment out there on the road and you're letting them control that, and then you're giving them another $200,000, $500,000 worth of freight, then you got to rely on them. They got to be reliable. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part, you know. So I think that's probably the bigger key is you got to pay better, way better, and the drivers have got to be more reliable if they're going to get hired. A lot of the candidates, you know, a trucker is kind of like a, you know, last of the cowboy jobs where, you know, you don't necessarily want to hire that sort of people, but really that's kind of sort of people you need. You need somebody that's okay with, you know, being out on the road away from home a long time, you know, and you got to hire somebody that's okay with, you know, not spending time with loved ones as much as they need to, you know, that's, you got to be okay with that. And a lot of times people that are in that situation, you don't necessarily want them to be part of your fleet or whatever. Hey, you got to deal with it if that's the case. So, you know, it's one of those things where, if anybody there worked for the bigger carriers, you know how when you go to the bigger carriers, not all of them, but most of them, they have a driver's lounge with the restrooms and the showers, and they got vending machines and a break room and all that kind of stuff, TV room and all that stuff like that. And there might be a dispatcher or something or a dispatch window. And it's funny, you go in there and it feels like that window is behind, like they're more protected than the teller at the bank. I mean, that's like behind a glass, you know, with a little speaker maybe sometimes, or not even that. You just, there's just like a wall with a bunch of boxes and stuff. And if you want to talk to anybody, you got to pick up a phone. The guy's in the office on the other side of the wall, but you aren't going to see him, you know. So it's like those carriers, they separate themselves from the truckers because they just don't want to deal with people, especially with people that spend their life over the road. And, you know, as truck drivers out there, you know what I'm talking about. And so things like that. But I just thought that was a big deal you know, like I said, it makes these regular news where, you know, like you said, industry experts, you know, and they call around. Well, they call, you know, they call like the ATA. You know, or they call like economists and stuff like that. They, you know, those people don't really know. They don't know. You know, driver shortage. And like you said, the baby boomers. Yeah, that's a little bit of it, but that's not the main thing. That's not the main thing. Main thing is that this job does not pay as much as it should. You're not used to. You could draw a lot of people to it because of the fact that you're able to make a lot of money. Nowadays, it's harder to make good money as a truck driver. You know, a lot of old school guys will tell you it's because of the e-logs and stuff like that. You know, a lot of the older school drivers will tell you that it's dealing with the customers of getting more and more pain in the butt, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's a hard job and traffic is worse, you know, construction, you know, truck drivers always say that, driving out there on the road, there's two seasons. There's winter and construction. So, you know, things like that. So, you know, that's, I just thought that was interesting. And I thought that maybe people, would like to get a kick out of just regular news reports talking about driver shortage. And yeah, they touch on a few things, but they don't really get it exactly right. And, you know, bottom line is that drivers need to be paid a whole lot better for doing, especially hazardous material work. And then of course drivers need to be more reliable. If you want to get paid good, then you better be good, you know? So that's about it. So yeah, we're going to keep on rocking and rolling here. 516-387-1733 is Redneck and I's radio. Just call in and, you can listen along or push one, be part of the conversation. Don't forget to check us out at, redneckandi's.com and, check out another one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You know, they specialize in all size diesel filters, the catalyst, the SCR units, EGR coolers, and catalyst mufflers. They say they're getting into turbos and charge air coolers, stuff like that. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a call at 800-634-3010, and that's DPF Regeneration. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, and we hope everybody's enjoying themselves and having a great evening.
Hold tight with a leather fist. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell him, boys, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Bandana hanging on the mirror, still wet from ear to ear. Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, dip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
And it's what I do. Between the two of us, there ain't a town we ain't been through. Riding 18 wheels, all this chrome and steel, trying to keep this country rolling. Out here doing that deal. If you ask me what it is that I do, I drive trucks on the highways where I'm found. True, good enough. From coast to coast and from town to town.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneckanized was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckanized.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneckanized.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome back. It's Ed with Redneckanized, Redneckanized Radio, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. We appreciate everybody joining us. And don't forget to check out our website, redneckanized.com. And go ahead and check, and please, if you could, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate that over there. If anybody hasn't checked that out before, we are a charity organization, a 501c3 certified charity. And it's an educational organization devoted to helping truckers deal with life out on the road. And, of course, one of the things that we're most proud of is helping four-wheelers drive around big trucks. And we've got a bunch of videos out there, like space management, following distance, turning, stuff like that, exiting and entering the interstates and the frontage roads, things like that. So we're really proud of that, and if you go check that out and like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff to those videos, comment, let us know how we're doing. We appreciate all that. And don't forget, one of the great sponsors of our charity, or one of the great sponsors of our organization that we're proud to, you know, try to get into motion and get things going, because we just acquired Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. They just came on board. We got together just at the early part of 2020, and we were really excited about getting together at the truck show, at Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville. Of course, because of COVID, that didn't happen. So we're really excited about trying to get with them and do more with the truck shows with Trucker Tools. And if you can go check those out, you can download their app. It's the Trucker Tools app. You can get on there. You can book freight. You can track freight. You can search for Walmart or truck stops or fuel stops. What am I going to say? Maintenance, you know, service areas and stuff like that to get your truck worked on and all kinds of cool stuff like that. So you can download the app, and it's all kind of a – they want to create it like a all-one-place-to-go app. And the cool part about it is you go on there and you use the app, and, of course, if there's some things that you think need to be changed or upgraded or tweaked, you comment on it and you let them know what – you know, you let them know. And they always try to go in there and change it, and they can always go in and change stuff, maybe create settings and stuff like that. And, of course, they're always wanting to help the driver – you know, teach, you got to learn how to use the app better, maybe, you know, that kind of thing. So they're the great truckertools.com, or you can download their app at any of the app stores. That's the Trucker Tools app, and let them know that you appreciate what they're doing and you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, and because we really appreciate them. So one of the cool things that I was going to dive in real quick, what I saw in the searching for trucker news and what's going on in the trucking industry is there was an accident on Interstate 75. Now, before I dive into this at all, I just want to let you know that there is no kind of like explanation for their findings. But if anybody in Georgia knew, there was a big load of lumber that overturned out on the highway, just pretty much shutting down the whole interstate. And this was on at 1:30. It says, let's see, when was this? I mean, I'm guessing it was like Thursday. It says 1:30 p.m., Cobb County, southbound Interstate 75. And there's a YouTube video from a drone or a camera or a traffic cam. And it basically, the truck is in like the one lane from the right. And all the lumber is just kind of just way out in all the other lanes, and I don't know if he like changed lanes real quick or something, but they classified it as a strap failure. So they said the strap broke, but they're not, I mean, they haven't shown any pictures or any kind of, you know, any kind of indication that how they came to that determination. It just says that on Thursday, the Georgia Department of Public Safety took to social media to clarify that the lumber spill was caused by a strap failure and not a problem with load securement. The agency reminded truck drivers to check their straps for defects before use. And I didn't think that was, you know, that big of a problem. I didn't know straps failed a lot. Sometimes I think that straps fail because drivers use like light straps for heavy loads, you know, but lumber, I don't know. I didn't know that was a big problem a lot of times, but, you know, nobody really likes to haul lumber. Lumber, it used not to pay very much. Nobody liked hauling it because you always had to tarp it. This wasn't tarped. You know, maybe if it was tarped, you probably would have had it better, but it wasn't tarped. And it looks like that it's a flat top. Truck. It's an international with a flat sleeper, but the scoop had a scoop on the top, and the scoop came off and went all the way forward. So yeah, and this one picture has it where the lumber has spilt like all in front of the truck and on the side of the truck. So it definitely hit the truck. The lumber did, and looks like it knocked the top scoop off the top of the roof of the truck. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, there's a bunch of pictures. The Georgia Department of Public Safety, they've got a Twitter account, and of course the traffic people in Atlanta and all that. So it's really interesting. And like I said, people talk about flatbed all the time and a lot of things they don't want to mess with. And of course, a lot of times it's, you don't want to mess with it because you have to tarp it, or you don't want to mess with it, because there's certain things you got to do with it. I always thought people didn't like lumber because it was a lot of work that didn't pay a lot. And I don't know how this one, like I said, we don't know because they didn't specify why the strap broke. I would have liked to have seen them put a picture out of the strap itself to see what it looked like, the broken strap. You know, sometimes the, you know, just other things give way. So you never know. But yeah, that's what we're all talking about, and things like that, trying to get ready for next year's truck show. Of course, when 2021 came around, the truck shows all came out and said they're just going to cancel. And the reason that was is because a lot of the states had not released their COVID restrictions for gatherings. So they made it mandatory where you had to have certain things done and everything. So a lot of the shows said, you know what, we're not going to do all that stuff. We're just going to wait and see what all, because a lot of the sponsors were like, well, if, you know, we can't just pack the halls and get everybody inside and everything. We just don't want to mess with it. So that's what they kind of did, kind of knocked that out. And they just said, you know what, we'll just wait till next year. So it was funny because it was like November of last year is when the Dallas Truck Show came out, and they're in August. And so they said, we're not going to, you know, and it wasn't until like maybe the end of January when Matt's, because they're in March, they came out and said they're not doing it. And a lot of the other shows, you know, they just kind of dialed it down, and they've kind of like, you know, maybe had something, but it wasn't like a big show they always had. And of course, all the others are basically at truck stops or what have you. So they're not really that, you know, that big at all, really. The one always in Joplin, it's outside. It's usually, there's two. There's one at the Petro, and then there's one, of course, at the Chrome Shop Mafia place, Four State Trucks, which is across the street. So usually they have two there during the year. And those Jubilees that they have, you know, with the Iowa 80 and all that, I'm not too sure if they've cranked it up and started that back up again. But if they have, they haven't really advertised it that much. It's not as much as I've always seen in the past. So it's kind of, you know, what they can do. But yeah, you can join us here, 516-387-1733. You can listen along, or to be part of the conversation, you just hit one, and we'll be glad to get you in here. We're just kind of chatting things up. We were talking about how the driver shortage was affecting the gas deliveries. And that was a cool little article that we talked about. And what we'll do is we're going to get a lot of that stuff up on YouTube once we get this show done, so everybody can kind of see that. But it was talking about where drivers have gotten out of it because the COVID. One of the big reasons that a lot of the experts claim that one of the big reasons is that because gas deliveries were down, because people weren't using gasoline that much during COVID, that drivers were laid off and they went to work somewhere else. And so now when they need them, they're not there. And one of the guys, he said, well, they've either gone to do better work or better pay. And you think about it as a driver, you know, you mean to tell me that I can do this job and get the same amount of money, or maybe a little bit less money, not that much less, but a little bit less, it'd be less stressful because it's not gasoline? Or I can get this job not hauling gasoline and it pay me more than if I was hauling gasoline. Sold, right? But when the guy said that, I kind of chuckled because that was, you know, I mean, that's what it goes boiled to, is if you need drivers, you need pay, you know, fork up the money and you'll get drivers. Because there's, and if you talk about it, well, we need drivers and where there's a driver shortage. And then you go to the truck driving school and the truck driving school says, yeah, there's a driver shortage. And they'll give you all kinds of reasons. Well, let me tell you this. Those truck drivers coming out of truck driving school, they're not going to be hauling gasoline when they're fresh out of truck driving school. Ain't no way in hell. Okay. Ain't no way. They're going to go have to work somewhere else and drive van or flatbed. And they're going to get trained over there for about 2 or 3 months. And they're going to be on some type of probation for 6 months to a year. And those carriers that haul gasoline, they're looking for guys with a year to 3 years at least. Mostly it's probably 2 to 3 years before they'll let you start hauling gasoline. And then, of course, you got to have the hazmat endorsement. And, of course, like the guy covered in the video, in the article, he said that a lot of drivers can't get hazmat endorsement because they have some kind of prior record to where they do a background check. And for anybody that doesn't know, before 9/11, all you had to do was take a test. And if you passed the test, which the test was your knowledge of hazardous materials, which they gave you a book, you studied it, and you went and took a test. Before 9/11, all you had to do was pass that test. And that was easy. After 9/11, they passed laws where you had to have a background check done before you were allowed to get certified to haul hazardous materials. And that's been the case now for a while. And it's basically what it's basically the same kind of background check you use to get a TWIC card, which is pretty funny because I remember when I was applying for the TWIC card and doing hazmat certification at the same time, they had to do a background check. The TWIC card people did their own background check. If you went to the state of Texas and said, well, they already did a background check. The state of Texas says, I don't care. I'm doing my own background check. Well, if you went to the hazardous material place, which is the state of Texas, to get hazardous materials, and they said, we're going to do a background check. And then you went to the TWIC card, which is the federal government, and you tell the TWIC card, well, I already got a background check from the state of Texas. They'll say, okay, that's good. We'll take that. So one would accept the other one, but the other one wouldn't accept it. So, you know, that's bureaucracy for you people. Okay. Just tell you that. But that's how you got to get done. You have to do a background check. And it's kind of like they don't want anybody that has any kind of serious issues with, you know, felonies or, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like owning a firearm or getting a job, a security level job or something. They just don't want you, you know, hauling stuff that can kill people, you know, especially when you're hauling, you know, 50,000 pounds of it. So that's one of the, he's explained that's what you have to do to get certified to haul hazardous materials, especially gasoline. And of course that creates a shortage in hazardous materials. Now, a lot of people will tell you that don't haul hazmat, that why would they want to haul hazmat when it doesn't really pay them that much more? And that's what we're boiling down to is that if you could get a job that pays you either the same amount or just a little bit less to haul hazmat, wouldn't you just rather have that job where you're not having to haul hazmat? You know, or some of the places you get paid more not hauling hazmat than you would if you were hauling hazmat. So hauling hazmat is now becoming more and more of an issue because of the test, because of the background check. Well, I thought that after 9/11, being a hazardous material certified hauler, being able to haul hazmat because you passed a background check and passed a test by the office, the DPS, DOT, whatever, I thought that would cause the driver pay for hazmat to go up, but it didn't really. It didn't. In fact, what it caused, because of it was so hard to get hazardous material certification, it caused a lot of carriers like Swift and Schneider and all those others to not require hazmat. Used to, these bigger carriers would always require hazmat, triples, doubles. They would require all those endorsements because that was a good way to weed out the idiots. You know, because if you couldn't go, you have a book, okay, it's not that big of a book, okay, it's got a lot of pictures in it. You read, study that book for about an hour, maybe not even that, 30 minutes. You go take a test and you pass it, 20 questions. It's not that hard. And if you couldn't do that, then they didn't want you hauling, you know, you just didn't need to be a truck driver. Okay. And a lot of people out there say, well, you still have to take a test to get your CDL. So yeah, but a lot of that is nature. That's driving. You know, that's driving is almost like you do it enough, you learn, you know, that kind of thing. Hazard materials is different because you got to know placards, you got to know classes, you got to know who to call, who not to call, you know, what the numbers mean, what the names mean, all that stuff. And a lot of people will get confused about that. And a lot of those carriers, they required that. And now, because of the 9/11 background check requirement, a lot of those carriers are like, you know what, we're not going to require that no more. Because it was, you know who got that done? The recruiters. The recruiters couldn't get enough people recruited. So what they said is like, hey, let's not require hazmat so that we can get more people to sign up. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of those carriers, like especially Swift, they didn't haul that much hazmat to begin with. So when they did have hazmat, it was always some kind of dedicated freight or it was a special freight where they needed special drivers on it anyway, you know. And I don't even think they paid drivers more to have the hazardous materials endorsement. So, you know, stuff like that is just I thought it would cause it the pay to go up, but it didn't. It just had the carriers, you know. So what you had was you had a lot of carriers that specialized in hazmat, and they might have paid a little more just because they were just one of those carriers that was one of their specialties. But those bigger carriers, yeah, they just didn't haul it that much. They just said, we're not going to mess with it because, you know, it doesn't benefit us. So that's what they did. But yeah, hauling gasoline, I guess, is a hard job, and I wouldn't want to do it, especially if I didn't get paid. I would have to get paid a good amount of money to haul gasoline, you know. So one of the stories I got told, it was my uncle, my great uncle. He was a truck driver. He started truck driving when he was 14 years old. And, of course, that was back in, I want to say, 47 or 48, something like that. Anyway, his father, my great-grandfather, they were naturally, what they did is they hauled lumber. They hauled logs. They would go out to the forestries and, you know, get the logs, take them to the mill, stuff like that. And when, of course, that wasn't doing, you know, when you had to kind of make ends meet, you were hauling other stuff. So they would haul whatever they could. And, of course, back then, it wasn't really heavily regulated. A lot of states on their own started saying you had to have a CDL. Some states did, some states didn't. Or they didn't really care what you were hauling, just as long as you had a license saying that you could drive a big truck. So he was telling a story about how he had to get a big truck license. He had to go take his test. And he was already been working, doing the job. It was his dad's truck that he was driving. And you had to park across the street in the at the grocery store to go to the DPS office. And this was in South Carolina. Pulled up in there, walked across the street, walked in there and said, let's take the test. And the lady, this guy with him, and he's walking out and he's like, okay, where are you at? And he's like, oh, I'm just across the street. And he goes, oh, is that your truck right there? And he goes, no, mine's over here. It's the one hauling the gasoline, the tanker. And the guy giving the test, like, oh, hell no, I ain't getting in that truck. I ain't getting in that truck at all. like, well, I guess back in the 40s or 50s, you probably wouldn't want to, you know, at all. Nobody would, you know. Back then, I guess it was still kind of an experimental thing going on. But he's like, nobody wanted to be around it. No, you know, he goes, people stayed away from me on the road when I was hauling that tanker. And I could imagine. Of course, it was probably a rough ride. Wasn't any air ride suspension or anything, but I chuckled when he told me that story. I thought it was funny. But yeah, we're just kicking back here, taking calls and enjoying life on the road. This is Redneckanized Radio, all things trucking and then some. And like I said, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Call in at 516-387-1733. Let's go to the line and see who we got. Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey.
How you doing?
Same old. Hanging out. I can't do anything until tomorrow morning. I got to unload tomorrow morning. I'm out here in Princeton, Indiana. I've been out here since yesterday morning. They screwed my load up. They got part of it off, and then they jerked around and did get the other part of it off, and then they closed. And yeah, it's been a disaster. So anyhow, no big deal. Well, what do you do? You know, it is what it is.
Yep. It is what it is. Yep.
No, I just sat there listening and talking.
No, I was going to say, we need to get T-shirts made up that says it is what it is.
Yeah. Nothing personal, just business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
But, yeah, I was listening to that. I mean, talking about the hazmat and the CDLs and stuff. And, you know, it's funny that, if you got any problem, you know, with any criminal history or whatever, you can't haul hazmat. You can't do anything hazmat or anything. Well, you know, I don't get it. I mean, yeah, I growing up, I was always told, you know, yeah, if you do something wrong, you get caught. Whether you go to jail, you go to prison, whatever you do, you go in there, you do your time. When you do your time and you're released, you paid your debt to society.
Right.
You're supposed to be you paid for the crime you committed. You paid your debt to society, but they hold that against you for the rest of your life, basically. Now they got laws now where you can go and get it expunged or whatever, and it's all it is more money for the government.
Yep.
Now my opinion is on that, and, of course, you know, that's where people agree to disagree, and I'm sure somebody will disagree with me, but being at that, if you're not capable because of a felony or because of your history or your criminal past, if you're not sound-minded enough or not trustworthy enough to go out there and haul hazmat or gasoline or oil or batteries or whatever you're hauling because of the hazardous factor of it, I don't believe myself that you should be able to drive a commercial vehicle, period. Because, I mean, what is these trucks? Whether you got hazmat on or not, they can do a lot of damage. If somebody is hell-bent on causing mass destruction and chaos and killing people or hurting people, they can do it with the truck without a hazmat load on.
Right.
You're basically
sitting
on a bomb anyhow.
Well, remember there was a Dick Simon driver drove into the capital of California in Sacramento. He drove through the Capitol building.
Right.
The Dick Simon truck.
Exactly.
We all remember that. Yeah, so that was, yeah.
You remember it was a few years back. I'm not sure. I think Ohio had one incident of it. And I'm thinking Tennessee. I'm not sure. But a couple of drivers freaked out and went bat crap crazy to keep, you know, politically correct here, and ran their truck through the scale houses because they got mad at the scale house and drove the truck. That one come down the ramp, and the scale man seen him coming. He called him and told him he was coming. You better clear out. And they got out of the scale. He was grabbing gears coming in the ramp, and they were slowed down. They just drove right through the scale house, just buried that truck in scale. Now, what goes there? That just goes to show, you know. The man's went to prison. He done his time. He paid his debt to society. He gets out. He's trying to, you know, a lot of them, some of them do, and they go right back and do the same thing again. They can't live on the outside world. You know, I know a couple of them like that. You know, they went in and come out, and they're right back in because they can't handle it out here. They don't know how to live it.
Yep.
They've been in prison for so long, they don't know how to handle, you know, out here in the public anymore, in society. All they know is they got to have somebody take care of them, tell them what to do all the time like they do in there. But that being said, why would you, you know, a lot of them's out here, they want to change your life around. They're trying. But if they can't get a break, then how are they supposed to do that? And it's like, you know, Taylor made the comment last week on the show that in order to pull a tanker, you know, you got to have so much experience. You got to have so many years experience in order for them to hire you or for them to even really talk to you about a job. Now, my question to him was, all right, and anybody, how are you supposed to get experience if nobody's willing to give it to you? We all started somewhere. And there ain't nothing that irritates the piss out of me anymore than to hear somebody, you know, talk about rookies. Well,
yeah,
that's a rookie move, or, you know, that a newbie. There's one of your 6 week wonders, or there's one of your newbie drivers, or your rookie drivers. You know what, people? Listen. We was all there. We was all rookies at one time. You didn't get in that truck knowing everything. You didn't get in that truck. You wasn't a professional when you climbed in that end. You wasn't no better than the kids getting into that truck right now.
That's right.
18-year-olds, I know. I don't agree with an 18-year-old being in a truck. I don't. I do not know. That because for the simple fact, I was 18 once too. I got my license, my driver's license, legal when I was 16. I did a lot of stupid stuff before I got my driver's license. I drove truck, car, whatever. My family's always been to trucks. All right, so I was driving truck when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, I was learning. But when to legally drive, when I got in that truck the first time, it was a whole different game. It was something, it was big. And at that time, they wasn't big. I mean, it was big, but we had 40-foot trailers. Man, that was a monster, you know? But
oh, yeah.
That being said, you know, I learned. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't a driver's school that taught you in 6 weeks. They go in there and sit in class, go over the paperwork, show you how to fill out a logbook, take you out in the yard, teach you how to maneuverability a little bit, how to back up and everything. I see guys out here now. I watched one the other day, 45 minutes to back mm-hmm. into a parking spot, and he had an empty spot on both sides of him. But he was trying to get in between the lines. 45 minutes I watched this guy. I ain't going to say what company it was, but they're one of the mega carriers. One that's got a training school, you know. That's what they're turning out. They train these guys in the summertime, like right now when it's 80s, 90s, 100 degrees out. They do 6 weeks or 3 months, whatever they want to do, and they put them out on their own. Then winter comes. And they're out here, they've been driving all summer. Yeah, I can drive a truck. Yeah, they're qualified. They know how to handle that truck. Yeah, yeah. So you put 6 or 8 inches of snow on the road, or you put, black ice out there, and then you give them a jake brake, an automatic transmission, and a cell phone, and then all hell breaks loose. Because then they have no idea. They have no idea what to do. And mm-hmm. as soon as they think they can drive just like a car, they can drive, just go like hell, you know. They can, right up to the point where they crash. And then they said, well, you know, we don't know what happened. Well, what happened is it's lack of training. It's lack of training. Now,
yeah.
you want to do something real funny? Wait, the government, I'm surprised. And if it ever come down to it, just like the hazmat. Now they want you to go. They want you if you any kind of criminal history. You're not allowed to. They don't want you driving or hauling hazmat. A lot of them you can't even get a job driving a truck if you got criminal background. You know, any kind of a criminal history, depending on what it is.
Right.
Now what I think is, if you went out there, you talk about that. How many of them out here? If you went out here and started making all of them take a psychiatric evaluation before you give them the CDL, there would really be a driver shortage. In my opinion, there would really be a driver shortage because you got a lot of these jacklegs out here that have no business in a truck. They can't speak English. They can't read English. They can't write. They go in there. They show the damn cashier a phone, and they have to read it because they can't tell them what they want or can't speak. How the hell do they drive truck out here? How do they read the road signs? They don't. That's why they're getting in trouble all the time. Every time they have accidents, it reflects back on the older, the ones that are respectable out here, and then they want to cry about driver shortage. I was listening to the news early. I was watching TV. Listen to the news. All right, and our local news up around home, because I got satellite TV, so whatever, talking about this some CEO, whatever, this trucking organization, talking about, we're 60,000 drivers short. We got a shortage. We're shortage 1,000 drivers. Really? Yeah, because they're all, like you said, they're all off because they, they're making more money at home than they are driving. Yeah. Again, shut that money off and they'll go back to work. But then again, if the companies was paying half decent, paying what they should, paying these guys for their time, paying them what they're worth, they wouldn't have that driver shortage.
Well, I've always said that if you're out there not, if you don't think you're making a good living as a truck driver right now, if you're out there right now saying I'm not making that good of money, I don't know what to do. There's other carriers out there that'll pay you more because there are carriers out there paying more, even owner operators or even company drivers. They're out there.
You just
got to find them.
You're right.
The ones paying crap will have to either pay more or they'll go out of business because they don't have drivers.
Well, that's right. That's the problem right now. It's all about their bottom line. They don't care about the driver. because they can get drivers, you know. I had a boss who used to tell me years ago when I was, you know, well, I wasn't new then. I was, you know, probably 8 years, 10 years into the game. I went in there one day, and he told me, I come back from Philadelphia. He told me, turn around, go back out there, be back out there in the morning. I said, I can't, I'm tired. He said, you can, yeah. I said, I need to get some sleep. He said, you can sleep when you die. He said, right now there's freight to haul. Turn around and go. He said, you might cuss me now, but you'll thank me come Friday when payday comes. I said, yeah, okay. I said, no. I said, I'm done. I said, I'm not, you know, I know when I've had enough, and I've had enough. He said, well, you know what? He said, drivers are dime a dozen. I flipped him a quarter on his desk. I said, there, get you 2.5 dozen. I'm gone. I went out and cleaned the stuff out, loaded my car, and I went home.
Yep.
And I went to another job. I found another job. It wasn't 3 months. He's calling me, wanting me to come back and go to work. I said, no, what happened? I said, did them 2.5 dozen drivers quit you already? I said, you said you could get, you know, get them a dime a dozen. I said, so you should have a lot of them. And that was the end of that. Yeah. You know,
yep.
It's like, that's why I bought my own truck. That's why, you know, years ago we went and got our own truck, Steph and I, because I got tired of having somebody tell me when I could go home, when I could stop, where I had to get fuel, when I could go to the bathroom, when I got to eat, you know, tell you, well, you got to stay out there. We require you. You have to stay out there, you know, 3 weeks at a time minimum before you could go home. No, no, no. And that's where the problem is. That's
right.
Why there's a shortage of drivers now. Because they can't get these kids to come out here. They don't. They want to come out here and drive these big trucks. They want to be somebody. But as soon as you tell them that they're going to be out for 3 weeks to a month before they're able to go home, these guys, girls, guys, they're young. They got a life ahead of them. They're still young. They're wanting to go home. They're wanting to go to parties with their friends. They're wanting to. They got, you know. Relationships that they're trying to keep up with, and this just doesn't blow all that out of the water. As soon as you start driving a truck and you're gone 3 weeks at a time, your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it is that you're in a relationship with, as soon as you don't come home for 3 weeks, hey, they're hitting, they're pounding the pavement. They're looking for somebody that's home all every night. And these guys
right.
Says, no, I, you know, the guy, yeah, true.
Yeah.
These guys
no,
said,
no,
I ain't doing that. You know, I'm not doing that. I can't. I'm not staying out there 3 weeks at a time. So they come in, they go through the training, they work a couple of 3 months. I'd like to know what the actual turnover rate is for a new driver, but they come out here, they go through the training, they stay out here 3 months. No, no, this ain't for me. I can't do this. And you'll see them same ones at working at Walmart or down at McDonald's or doing something out digging ditch, doing something. But they're not in a truck because they're not going to stay out here on that road for hours, you know, days on end. Not going to happen.
Back when I was training and doing all that, running the training department up in Dallas, the turnover rate for a new driver, and this is a driver that's been at the job for, you know, a month and a half, that's the turnover rate is between 30% to 40%. So every 10 drivers, at least three or four of them are going to quit. They're not going to make it through the training. And and that has nothing to do with them not being able to do it. That's just their, you know what? What I'm saying is that's not them saying that they can't do the job, that they're not capable. It's that I'm not doing it. I'm not staying out. I hate driving that long. I hate staying out that long. I hate dealing with, you know, LA traffic or Austin traffic or whatever. I hate doing that. And I'm not going to do it. And, you know, I had a guy on my truck. He couldn't stand it that he couldn't tuck his kids in at night. He couldn't stand it.
Right.
You know, he'd rather go make less money doing local stuff or doing stuff, you know, at the house. He'd rather dig ditches than be gone from his family that long. And that's, you know, I said that before earlier I see people all the time. They won't like, you know, you try to tell them, you know, you can have a career doing this job and you know, you just got to, you know, pay the dues and all that. And they don't, that, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going out, you know,
but
especially
you,
younger
you
guys,
you
know, and all that. So.
Yeah, you can't make it your life. You know, these companies need to understand that, you know, yeah, years ago, you know, way back, the guys went out there and they'd stay out for, hell, they'd stay out 4, 5, 6 months at a time. Then they go home. Look what the divorce rate was in back then, too. Half of them been married 4 or 5 times. Had a girlfriend in every state.
Yeah, this is a good topic here. I want to talk about this, but I want to bring in one of our other guys here and shoot it up a little bit. But we're gonna step away and take a quick break.
All right.
And this is Greg with Redneck and Eyes, and we'll bring on Robbie too in a little bit here. We're gonna step away, take a little break, and we'll be right back.
The eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure too, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the Sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything is in between them is our home. Done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure cool, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
Truckers at Redneck and Eyes want to invite you to check out their live podcast, Redneck and Eyes, All Things Trucking and Then Some, live every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Just call 516-387-1733 and join the conversation. When everything goes wrong, you got a Redneck and Eyes.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right.
free in the street. Want a good guy, pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. You can't speak of Jesus, how dare he ever speak the truth. Southern red, white, and blue till the day that I die. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. Cause there's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, cause how dare we ever speak the truth. Southern red, white, and blue till the day that I die. Used to, justice was served on a roll.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple. DPF Regeneration. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. Remember, we're live. We are live every Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733 to be part of the show, or just listen in, or if you want to be part of the conversation, just push one on the phone and we'll get you right in. But don't forget to check out our website at redneckandeyes.com, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us and everything. So we were having a great conversation, talking about some great things, and we're going to bring Greg and Robbie on. And what we were talking about was getting, you know, the driver shortage, and talking about getting good drivers, reliable drivers. And what I was talking about earlier, and I was filling these guys in on what I was thinking about was how the drivers, you know, the carriers are like, we're talking about reliable drivers, drivers that'll show up, drivers that'll deliver on time and not have accidents. That's basically what they want. The problem is that a lot of times the carriers will reject drivers based off of other issues. Maybe that, you know, they're slightly, I don't know, unrefined in their customer service skills, or maybe they're a little bit more into not taking care of themselves that well, or, you know, a lot of places they require uniforms, and if you don't wear a uniform exactly right, they yell at you, or they write you up, or they, you know, they're always saying, you know what, you can't work here anymore, your uniforms are always sloppy and all that like that. But what I always have a time to argue with, and I think Greg agrees with me and Robbie as well, is that truck driving, it's a certain lifestyle, and it attracts certain kinds of people. And some of those people, you know, they do a good job. It's just that you got to let them do it the way they do it. And if you're trying to change them, then those people would rather, like we said before, they would rather go dig ditches than to hear you tell them that they're not doing that job right when they were doing it just fine. So, you know, what do you think, Greg? You think that a lot of guys out there are just fed up with trying to be changed? They're fed up with trying to be controlled.
Right. People don't, you know, you get them and they, you know, the younger guys coming in is what this industry is. I think that's why they're trying to get it to 18-year-olds, because if they get 18-year-old drivers out here and they get it to where they can get them in trucks, these companies get a hold of them soon enough. It's like everything else. They can train them and refine them the way they want them. They can teach them the way they want them to do things. You get the older drivers out here, like you, you know, yourself, and me, and Robbie. Once it's been out here for 10, 12, 15 years or longer, me, almost soon be 37 years, you're not changing me now. I'm staying my ways, and I'll admit it. I'll admit it. I've been out here too long. You know, I know everything I've done, what I've done has worked for me all these years. I haven't, like I said, you know, on air, I said I haven't had a major accident. I haven't lost a load. You know, I've been fortunate, real lucky, God riding with me, whatever. I mean, but that's the way it is. But if they can train these drivers to do and live and work the way they want them to do it, then they don't know any other way. They think that's
right.
The way it's supposed to be done. But to tell us, well, you got to do it this way or you got to do it that way. No. I've been driving truck longer than you've been born, and you're going to sit there and tell me the way that you want me to do it, and it's worked for me all this time. I'm not changing now. And that's where everything, you get the conflict, and everything starts bumping heads, and that's why you have the conflict that you got out here, a shortage of drivers, because these guys said, no, I'm not doing it your way. I'll leave. I'll go somewhere else. And they go.
Yeah.
They go. So, you know, that's just my opinion. That's what I see happening.
Yeah, I mean, I see it too. Like, even in my job, you know, we get paid really good, and that's fine. We got nice equipment. Okay, that's fine. You know, everything. But when I need assistance, or when I'm trying to figure out what I need to do, you know, the jerk on the other end of the phone is kind of an asshole. And it's like, you know, I don't want to put up with that crap. So why would,
right.
I don't care if I get paid good and drive a new truck. If you're going to talk to me like that, I don't want to hear it, you know? So
exactly.
And that kind of thing. And, you know, just like people talk about it all the time, don't work for a certain carrier because their dispatchers or managers or whatever are jerks. To me, that's all personal preference, because it's all about who you're actually dealing with. I mean, a lot of people, I remember when I was working for the bigger carrier, a lot of people would change their terminal, their home base, where they were working out of, because they didn't like the people that they were having to talk to every day. They'd rather talk to the people working out of that one terminal. Robbie probably agrees with me on that. There's so many other people say, I don't want to talk to you. Give me somebody else on the phone, you know, and that kind of thing.
Then they're done that is, no, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Or
exactly.
He answers the phone and you hang up.
Yeah.
And then you call back again, try to get someone else. Well, I don't want
when
to that guy.
Yeah.
And you just
when I went back over the road.
Do it until you get to the right person.
Yep. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, a lot of times what they're doing too is they talk about where they're getting their drivers from, driver schools. Okay, but you never hear anything mentioned about where these companies are getting their dispatchers.
Right.
90%
yeah.
of these dispatchers are young kids. And I can say that. And I'll tell you in a minute why, real quick. But they're getting these kids that are coming out, they're coming out of high school, whatever, they graduate, whatever, and they go over, they're, these companies are hiring these kids, whether they're relatives or you know, sons or daughters of somebody that works in the company or whatever, but they make a position for them. They put them at, well, you can dispatch. You can be a driver recruiter, or, you know, or you can be a load coordinator. You're going to be a load coordinator for us. We're going to train you how to do this. Well, that's all good and well if they, again, it's like a driver, as long as they're trained to do that job the right way. But a lot of them come in there and they train, and these people, I'll say 85% of them can't tell you what the inside of a truck looks like because they've never been in a truck.
Yeah.
They don't have any idea. They run them miles on the computer and they say, well, you know, it's 500 miles from here to there, so you should be able to do that run in 8 hours. Well, you know, or whatever. Oh, well, yeah, they give you just enough time to barely squeak by and get it. I run into that problem with what I'm doing here now. All right,
yeah.
But they don't take into consideration the summer months, you got construction every 5 miles. In the wintertime, you've got road conditions to worry about, weather, ice, snow, rain, whatever. You know, you've got the elements to deal with. You've got, you know, infrastructure problems. Now you got detours everywhere, roads closed, ramps closed, whatever. It takes a while to get that done. It's not a storybook world. Change the page. It changes every by the minute. And anybody that says, well, you know, yeah, I've been here long enough. I know. No, I learn something new out here every day. To this day, as long as I've been driving, I always learn something new. That's why that like I was saying before, that rookie or newbie crap, I don't buy into that. Because
yep.
I don't care what you're doing. You started somewhere. You was the same way them kids are. At one time, you was trying to learn your job. All right, that being done, this company that I work for, they got a bunch of young guys that's dispatching. It's like, in this company, we got like 50-some trucks running. All right, we got about 5, 6, or 7 dispatchers in there, including the owner, sits in there at a desk and dispatches too. And the biggest majority of the time, he dispatches me and a few of the others because, well, we're on the paper logs. Not that we're doing anything illegal, but he controls us. Right now, I found out the other day, I have got the oldest truck in the fleet now.
Hmm.
All right, and they run it like that. I don't run any less than what the rest of them does. I don't get treated any different, all right, than the rest of them. But at that, it's like we don't have, and I found this hard to believe when I went to work for them, when they told me what they paid, how they paid, and what they did and everything, I said, yeah. And his fiance told us that this will be the last place you ever work. And I said, yeah, you know how many times I've heard that over the years? You know? Well, you know what? They have little to no turnover rate. They've had 2 guys quit that I know of in the last year that I know of. And that's because they was older guys. I'm talking in their 60s, you know, 60s, mid-late 60s, get towards 70 years old. Been driving for many years. And when Biden got elected, their theory was they quit. They told him, I'm leaving. Biden's elected now. He's going to screw the trucking industry up. We're not going to make no money, and my money's going to fall, and I'm not going to be able to do anything. I quit. I'm done. And they quit. And she said, I don't know why. The owner said, I don't know why. But we have a waiting list. The last I heard, there's like 15 teams on a waiting list right now waiting because they won't hire more than, I think they got 50 or 55 trucks, and that's all they want. They don't want to get too big because they don't want to have more trucks than what they can load so everybody makes good money.
Yeah.
And so they've got a waiting list right now for teams, and they have like 15 people waiting for on the waiting list for teams. And they had like 5 solos waiting on a waiting list. and they're not hiring nobody. They're not, and right now they're not taking, they're taking, still taking applications for teams, but they're not taking any more applications for solos because they think they're trying to kind of weed solos away because they can run the teams and get more profit, make more profit. Now, I do a lot. I run, and Robbie knows it, I run a lot of team loads. I run a lot of loads that are team loads. I do it. I don't do it illegal, but I'm constantly running. I can boost up, but I get it done. It's not easy all the time, but I do it. Then it works out. But, you know, the money factor, you know, they pay good. They pay real good.
Yeah.
It's the best pay that I've ever had in this industry since I've been doing it. So, no, I'm not, you know, they aggravate me and irritate me. I was madder than hell this weekend because I got screwed out of $3,000 this week. One load went 100 miles, paid $3,000. I couldn't get it because they didn't take this load off yesterday morning like they didn't finish taking it off because they closed at 6 o'clock yesterday morning, and they couldn't make up their mind what door they wanted it at, so I paid the price. Whatever. It's just the cost of doing business. In the meantime,
yep.
One of our other trucks is sitting over here in the parking lot, and I know he got that load that I was supposed to get, so now I'm sitting there looking at him thinking, you ass, you got my load. Yeah. But ain't nothing I can do about it. I got one. I can't get it unloaded till tomorrow.
Well,
so whatever, in the morning.
Well, you talk about driver shortage. The reason why drivers don't work certain freight or don't work, you know, as much as they would like is because of the fact that they know that if I get out there, something's going to happen, you know, and I'm going to get stuck. And I'd rather do this other job over here where I'm probably not making as much money, but I'm guaranteed this run, you know, whatever, you know. So
that's right.
A lot of guys
that's right.
do that. You
or
know.
They get there. Or they're guaranteed they go home every weekend, you know. If they get, you know, if
yep.
they knock this crap off, they're finding out now that these guys ain't gonna stay out like we was talking before. They're not gonna stay out here 4 to 6 weeks at a time, or 3 or 4 months at a time. They want to go
yep.
out there, you know, work through the week and go home on the weekend so they can got so they got some kind of a life at home. Oh, the ones that's married,
yep.
the ones that's whatever. You got a life beside the truck, Robbie.
Yeah, if you're,
he
if,
goes out, you know. Him and his wife, he goes out and stays out 3-4 weeks at a time, and then he goes home for a week. Me, I'm 8 to 10 days, and I'm going home. I don't give a damn if the Pope likes it. I'm going home. That's the way it is. I'm going home, and I'm taking 4 days or a week off or whatever, you know. And they had a problem with that for me, man. It was an argument for a while. They was beside themselves with me. Oh, that's the problem we got. You guys come in and start making good money, and then everybody wants to take time off. They don't want to work. I said, I told you coming into this game, I've got a house. I bought a house to live in, not a truck. I said I got a house. I got my Harley. I got the boat. I got the wife at home. Yes, I'm going to spend time at home. I'm not going to live in the truck. Well, now we've come around to kind of found our happy spot. You know, we found our happy place between the two of us. So Greg does what I want to do, and the company just deals with it. They might not like it, but they deal with it. Because I gave them the option. I give them the ultimatum, either deal with it or cancel my lease, and I'll go somewhere else to go to work. Well, they don't want me to leave. They want me to work more, but they don't want me to go. So they work with me. But when I'm out here, I work, and I turn revenue. So that's what the companies is getting into now. They're going to have
yep.
to learn. They're going to have to start working with these guys. These guys ain't going to live out here on the road.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Robbie, you probably dealt with this too, where these bigger carriers, you would tell them, you know, they'd be out, you'd be out for a month, and you'd say, okay, time to go home, and you tell them, send me home, what's he doing? Damn, Greg. But anyway,
bubbling with your headset.
Oh yeah, okay. But anyway, you'd be telling them, okay, I need to go home. Well, they send you a load, it's not going home, or it's not getting you close to home. And you turn it down. You say, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. And they would tell you, well, then you're going to sit because you're not, I don't have anything else. And it's like, but you knew for a week, you know, or, you know, we had this predetermined. So in the process of trying to get me miles, you also need to work on making sure I'm at a certain spot. You know, I don't know if you remember, Robbie, they had a computer system at Swift that did that where, the computer would know when to try to get the driver home. So So the computer would start routing the driver back to home, because apparently they couldn't even have all those planners that were working and all those terminals. They couldn't even be bothered to do that. They had to just say, let the computer figure it out to get the driver home, because they couldn't even figure it out, because they don't do it. I mean, they would tell me, well, you're refusing to work. I said, no, I'm refusing to do the job you're telling me to do that's not getting me home.
Yeah. No,
it's one of those things that I need to get out of. I've been out a month. I need to get out of the truck. I need to be away from the truck.
Exactly.
Not an hour or two going into the truck stop to either take a shower or maybe 2 hours and do some laundry. That ain't getting out of the truck. That's just stepping away for a minute. You know, I need to get away from the truck for a couple of days. Or
yeah.
If you're out 3 weeks, oh, you can only be home for 2 days. What? No, I don't think so. They don't
yeah.
work. They don't
yeah.
fly with my boat. One of the reasons, Greg, can you agree with me, is why I went out and bought a truck. Now I have a trailer. I do my own thing. I go home when I want. I found a carrier that works with me on that. As I go home, I'll let you know when I'm ready to rock and roll again. And when I come out,
yeah.
I want to work.
Well, that's even with those bigger carriers, you know, like they trick a lot of their drivers to go lease purchase. And even as a lease purchase, you're technically an owner operator, but they'll tell you, you can't go home when you want to, you know, they have certain rules, you know, and you're right. You go out and you get a truck so that you have that freedom to be able to go home, be able to control, you know. I mean, I knew owner operators that were leased onto these big carriers where they said, I don't run California, or I don't run Ohio, or I don't run Illinois, or I don't run Florida. I only run these states or whatever. And they did it, you know, but again, it goes back to dispatchers. Dispatchers works with them on that. A lot of these others, they don't want to do it. They don't want to mess with it. And you talk about driver shortage. Well, that's why, because I mean, if you can't work with me, I'm not going to work for you. So, you know,
that's goes
back to
Rob
it.
Rob and Robbie and Donnie and them, you know, they laughed at me there for a while, and they kind of thought, you know, it's crazy or whatever, but because dispatch, when I started with them, you know, they asked me, where you live at, you know, when I called them about the job, I live in Ohio. I said, you have any freight out of Ohio, you know, you do much out of Ohio? Oh, yeah, Ohio's a good area for us. Up around Cleveland, Youngstown, that's a good area for us. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I'm about 35 miles south of Youngstown. I said, So I'm in a good area then to go work for you. I can get home. I can get back and forth. You have no problem getting loads home and getting loads, you know, out of home, you know, coming out. Oh, yeah, man, it'll work out good for you there. It's okay. So I went out. Well, they loaded me first load with them. I had to get in from the house to Wayne, Michigan. Yeah, 250-some mile. I had to get in to pick up the first load. Oh, that's all right. The load, the rate reflected it. It paid good. I did it. Okay, I did that. All right, but then when it come time to go home, I was out in St. Louis. I said 4 days out in St. Louis around the holiday, over the holiday. They didn't tell me to go home. We are, go ahead, you know, we can't work slow. We ain't got nothing. Just go on a deadhead on home. The load paid enough to deadhead home, but they didn't tell me that. So I'm new, so I'm thinking, well, I'll just set it out. Well, I'm mad, you know, I'm upset over it. So boss called me, the owner, he called me on Monday morning. He said, hey, I told them to call you Saturday and just tell you, you know, that's why I bid the load high. You know, set the rate like I did so you could afford to, when you unload that load, you just go on home for the 4 days for the holiday. I said, they never told me that. He said, well, I told him to tell you before I left on Saturday morning. I said, well, nobody called me, so I'm mad over that. So I'm upset with dispatch over that, but my fault. Okay. So how many times, Robbie, you can back me up on this, I would leave the house and they'd load me to go out 8-10 days. I tell them I'm ready to go home. It's time to go home. What they do, they send you as far away from the house as they can get you, and they keep you out there. I was running Kansas City, St. Louis, Mississippi, Alabama. I went to Dallas, Fort Worth. They keep me all as far away from home as they can get me. Then they got me back to Kansas City. I run a load out to Kansas City, and it was on a Thursday, I think it was. And I told them, I said, look, it's time. I'm going home this weekend. Find me something going to the house. But no, I was over in Illinois. So I said, I take that back. I was in Ohio over by Columbus, and I told him, I said, today's Thursday. I said, I'm going to be home this weekend. I said, so find me something, you know, short tomorrow, and then I go home for the weekend. Okay, I got you in the system for it. What happened that night? They texted Sarlo. They sent me one, Kansas City, Kansas. I said, are you shitting me? I picked the load up. That's the way I am. I won't refuse it. I picked the load up because it paid damn good. I went to Kansas City. I got to Kansas City and unloaded the load the next morning, called them. I said, what's going on? Well, we got some bids in, but we haven't got anything. We've been checking on a couple of things, but nothing in particular yet. I said, take me off the board. I'm going home. I'll talk to you next Monday.
There you go.
And I put this thing in the wind. I fueled up in Kansas City, and I did hit it. All the way to the house, all the way down below Youngstown down to the house. I did that about three or four times from St. Louis, Kansas City, done it twice down in South Carolina. Now, when I tell them it's time to go home, they find me something, you know, going up into Ohio or the border of Indiana or somewhere relatively decent, deadhead to the house, because they know I'm going to go regardless.
Mm.
Now, yep. Bobby can back me up. He knows I've done it because I've talked to him on the way home. You know, as long as you tell them what you're doing, and you stick to
they
it.
They didn't find me nothing, so I'm going home. Screw them.
Yep. Been there.
For the companies I've been with, it, when you want to go home, they try to keep you as far away as possible. Especially when you're coming, we don't have nothing going that way. We don't have nothing going that way. Oh, bull crap. There's loads going that way. Get on the load board. There's loads going that way. Broker a load out. But some of those dispatchers, load planners, whatever you want to call them, they don't have that common sense. They don't know what it's like out here. They're right out of high school. Oh, they got a diploma. They got a degree or whatever, and whatever computer skills or something. They don't know what it's like in a truck. They've never been in a truck.
Nope. You're right.
They haven't. You're right.
Well, and I mean that's what boils down to is it's almost like every time that I always had a new dispatcher, I was like, so I got to train another dispatcher. So you know things like that. But that's good stuff there. So hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. This is All Things Trucking and then some. And we're with Greg and Robbie, both of the directors of Redneck and Eyes, and we appreciate them having along. Don't forget, we have a great sponsor, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. They got SCR units, EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers, all that stuff. They are all different engine size types, and you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Or check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Don't forget to give us a holler at 516-387-1733 every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, guys, was really cool. I thought that Greg would get a kick out of it because this article here.
Oh, this got to be good.
Yeah. It says prosecutors agree to drop charges against tanker driver swarmed by protesters on Minneapolis Bridge. So it says prosecutors have agreed not to move forward with charges against a truck driver who was accused of driving into a large group of protesters in Minneapolis last summer. On Friday, Hennepin County prosecutors and 36-year-old truck driver Virchko entered into a continuance without prosecution. What does that mean, Greg? Continuance without prosecution.
Continuance without prosecution. Sound to me like they're letting him off.
Well, they're letting him off, but it's just like a regular truck driver getting a ticket. We're going to let you off the hook as long as you don't commit any more crimes here in the next 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, so
exactly.
It's like per the agreement, prosecutors will no longer pursue a felony count of threats of violence and a gross misdemeanor count of criminal vehicular operations against the driver as long as he doesn't get into legal trouble in the next year. So he's 1 year of that, yes. But, of course, it all boils down to it. But, again, I want to stress to you, and Greg will back me up on this, that in addition to having items stolen off the truck during the incident, The driver also suffered cuts on his face. So far, none of the protesters have been charged in relation to the physical attack against Bachurko. I can't say his name. But so that's how it ended that way. So there you go. So good news and bad news.
There is laws. Am I wrong? Right or wrong? I you know, again, some people agree to disagree, but, you know, in the law books, there is laws on the books right now that says that you cannot interfere or block public highway, interfere with interstate commerce. All right?
Yeah, I mean,
that means that you cannot block, you cannot physically block a highway. If we go out in our protest with these trucks and we block a highway by running roadblocks and convoys, they will bust our backsides for it. You know, they will write us up. We will get arrested. They will throw us in jail if we take these trucks and shut them down and block the highway. But they will let all these protesters get out there and set up basically tents and tables and do whatever and block the highway and stand there and block the highway from interstate commerce and keep freight from being delivered and everything because it meets their agenda and they don't do anything to them about it. There's no recourse. But if we do it, it's different. How is it different?
Yeah, well, the thing
is not. I don't understand that. How can they get away with it and we can't?
Well, and that just tells you right there how crazy these prosecutors are. They arrested the guy first off, which is silly because you didn't arrest any protesters, but you arrested the driver, you know. So
I'm telling you right now, God is my witness. I go through a big city like that, and I don't know what's going on, and I come up and I see a mob of people standing in the middle of the road with sticks and pipes and chains and bottles and whatever, and they're going to, I know that they're blocking that road. If I stop, they're going to cause me bodily harm, physical harm to me, or they're going to tear my equipment up. I don't give a damn if it's a bunch of Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts out there. If they got sticks and bottles and stuff out there, I don't care what they're using. If they're standing in the middle of that road and they start threatening my life, they're going, I'm telling you, I'm running over them. Now, I don't care if the government likes it or they don't. It's either them or me, and it's not going to be me because I am where I'm supposed to be doing my job, doing what I'm supposed to do. If they're that stupid that they're going to stand there with a truck this size coming barreling at them, and they're going to stand there and let you run over them, they ain't got much sense anyhow. They deserve what they get.
There you go.
Now, that's
you know, a lot
is.
A lot of those states like Texas, Florida, Iowa, I think Missouri, maybe Kansas, they passed laws that says, the state says that you're not going to be charged with a crime if you have to run over people that are blocking the road. Because, you know, a lot of that happened in Austin. Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of states passed that law to where, you know, if you're in your vehicle driving down a road and there are people blocking the road, wanting to cause you harm, then if you hit them, you're not going to get charged with a crime. You know, it happened in Austin. A couple of people got hit because they were out there, you know, banging on cars, breaking windows and everything. And the drivers of the cars were like, I'm not hanging around. I'm gone, you know. So
right.
So that, you know, and of course, the only time that it involved a big truck that we know of was the one in Minnesota. And we're not exactly sure how it actually took place. According to a lot of people, they said that there were cops or people out on the highway telling people don't go down the highway or whatever. But, you know, we have no visual proof of that. These days, what did you say? I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. So, you know, if I don't see video evidence of it, I'm not really sure it happened. Even if I do see video evidence of it. So, you know.
You know what amazes me is all these companies want to put dash cams in the truck now. And they're more interested in what that driver is doing inside the cab than they are outside the cab. All right, they want to put all this technology in there. Why don't they put cameras on these trucks? Some of them's got them. Some of them, a lot of them don't. But make it mandatory that all you want to make stuff mandatory for technology on this truck. Make it mandatory so all these new trucks have to have video surveillance that covers that vehicle 360 degrees around that whole vehicle. the truck, right. The trailer, out front, behind you, the sides of you, everything. And when something like that happens, go back and review that video, and if you're in the right, you're doing your job, and you're doing what you're supposed to, and somebody's interfering with your job out there, and they're trying to stop you, then, and something happens to them, there should be no court case. Shouldn't be no trial. You was in the wrong. You, that person died. Done. End of discussion. You're done. It's right here on video.
Yep.
It's right here. We got it right here on video. Here's what you did to cause your ass to get run over.
So,
you know,
so one of the
what
I was going to say was one of the newer technologies that we see on cars now is the cameras all over the car. So, like when you're parking, like when you're either when you're moving slow or backing up,
right.
Not only do they have a backup camera on the back of the vehicle, but they have cameras on the side of the vehicle. And you always thought, how is that doing that? How is the car having a camera on the side of the vehicle? Well, where it's at is it's like an ultra wide angle camera under the mirror facing down.
Yep.
And that camera is picking up everything from wheel to wheel, and at least probably 2 to 3 feet out, it's picking up everything on the side of each vehicle, and it's a little camera right under the mirror. I'm not surprised when to see trucks start doing that. When the Volvo Freightliner, Peterbilt, you know, especially the Freightliners and Volvos, it's all one big piece of mirror anyway. Most of them are just one huge mirror console, not individual mirrors. They can put a little camera right up under that deal there, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's technology right now where when you go buy a camera system. I mean, I think one didn't we see it at the truck show one time where you could buy a hard drive and computer to go in the truck, and you could have like 15 to 20 different cameras on your truck, where they would put a camera in your trailer, they would put a camera on your catwalk, they'd put a camera on the back of the trailer, under the trailer, all around the truck. You can buy those. Owner operators can buy that stuff, technology for their trucks. It's expensive, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's more the technology coming around.
I've been looking at it, but I just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. It's about $500. You can get four camera views, one going forward, one on each side, and one in the back.
Well, there you go. That's $500 for four. That's reasonable.
But
it's continuous recording.
It'll hold I think it's a 128 gig SD card. That's a lot of film. That's at least a week worth.
Yeah.
And then you can save it on however. Another thing, Tesla. I was in a traffic jam. We're doing 5 miles an hour. There was this Tesla next to me. There are so many cameras around that thing. It tells you what kind of vehicle it is next to you, going by you. It had a truck. Well, the truck wise, it wasn't me in a flatbed. All it showed is, you know, a truck and trailer, like a dry van or a reefer or something, but it showed all the cars and how fast they were going. I'm watching this thing, I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. Eventually all of our cars are going to be like that, which can't be that much more to put it in a vehicle, especially with these new trucks that have braking avoidance and all that other stuff. So
But it's more of a, like you were saying before, it's more of watching what's going. And to me, I like having the cameras when I drive, because it's not them trying to watch me. It's me covering my butt for everything else going on out there, you know. Because the biggest problem right now is that if anything happens on the side of my vehicle or behind me, and I do something to avoid something going on that the camera's not picking up. Well, the problem is that if something happens and I say, yeah, but on the right-hand side of me, this other car was over there doing something else. Well, they don't have any video proof of that there was another vehicle on the side that the camera, the dash cam, never picks up, you know, so you're not covered. So yeah, having vehicles are all around you like that, or having cameras like that, you know, like you're saying, especially when people are out there running around on the highway.
Well, it's like all these attorneys. I've been through it. I think we've had that discussion before. It's like all these, you know, attorneys and everything, accident attorneys, like the Hammer up here in Indiana. And they got a bunch of them up there in Ohio. Now, every one of these attorneys in these states, if you get in a truck accident, call us. We can recoup millions. Well, you know, years ago when everybody was on paper logs, when we were all on paper logs, and any time that you tagged a car where the car hit you, you hit the car, whatever, as soon as the cop got there, the first thing they wanted was your logbook, your driver's license, registration, and your logbook. All right. Then they would take it to court, and the attorney would go back through, and they would subpoena your logbooks, all your logs for a month or whatever, and they'd go back through them, and they would scrutinize them logs, and they'd say, well, you know, here, you know, if he hadn't have been here, you know, if he hadn't have been where he was at, this accident wouldn't have happened. All right, okay, that's good enough. All right, and they beat that for years. They
right.
whipped that horse for years, and the companies didn't have no choice but just pay for it, just pay the lawsuit, get it over with, and let's go on. All right, but it still come down on the drivers. You still got charged with the accident. Then cell phones come around. All right, then when cell phones first come out, then they still continue to do it. The attorney says, well, now we want your driver's license, registration, your logbook, and cell phone records. As soon as you get an accident, they would subpoena your cell phone records for court. And when you went to court, they would use them cell phone records. If you was on that phone at the time of the accident, or you was doing anything on that phone, they'd say, well, if he hadn't been talking on the phone, the accident wouldn't have happened. So therefore, he's guilty because he was talking on the phone instead of paying attention to what he was doing. Okay? We had to live with that. All right. Now you got the cameras, too. So I've got it in my head that the next time, I hope there never is, but the next time that I get in an accident with a car or a car hits me or whatever, when that cop gets there, all right, do whatever you got to do. I'm going to get my attorney. And the first thing I'm going to do, I'm taking it to court. To hell with the company. I'm going to take them to court. And when I walk in there, the first thing the attorney's going to do is, he's going to subpoena them people's cell phone records, and he's going to get all the information he can get on them. Because if I find out or he finds out that they was texting or they was talking on their phone when they hit me, now I'm suing them. And if the companies would start doing that, a lot of this stuff nonsense would stop. Because everybody,
right.
you drive down the road, I've done it. You drive down the road at night. I get bored out here. I get bored. I like to drive at night. I do all my driving mostly at night because there ain't nobody around. I love driving at night. But you can drive down the road and tell when somebody's on the phone, and at night especially, because they think they're hiding something. Cop says, well, we can't catch them. You know, Ray Charles can see them on that cell phone at night. The whole inside of the car lights up when they pick it up.
Yep.
You know, you can see it. They're holding it right up front of their face looking at it. They're sitting there texting, and they're wobbling around from side to, from line to line on the road. All right, now, that means, you know, if that, why? You know, why? I mean, I'll guarantee you that you count it. Ed, when you go to work tomorrow night, at night, just do this. When you're riding up the road, sit there, all these cars passing you, start counting them. And see how many of them is sitting there holding a cell phone or how many of them is playing with a cell phone when they pass you. Just about eight out of ten people has got either a cell phone on a holder on the dash in front of them or they're holding it in their hand messing with it going down
yep.
the road. I count them all the time. I sit there and I just sit there and watch them.
You know, on a day, even during the day it's like that. You know, it's even worse. You can count on
yes.
two hands on who is not on a cell phone.
Right.
Because just about every car that goes by me is, oh, that one's on a cell phone. Well, that one's on a cell phone. Well, that one has a cell phone. Or that one has a tablet in front of them. Oh, wow, nice.
Right.
You don't see women in the morning putting makeup on. No, they have their cell phone in their hand now.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
But we're the bad guys out here, you know. We're out here trying to do a job. They're going to work. They're driving.
Yeah.
They're driving 80 mile an hour, and they got a cell phone in their hand texting and driving. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we're at the end of the show, Ed. I know you got to, you know,
Well,
no,
I was going
to
say one other thing I was going to mention. I didn't know if you knew it or not. I was scanning through here, and it says J. Riles. Is that a trucking company up in? It says revamped Akron headquarters positions trucking company for growth. I don't know if you know that company or not.
Sounds familiar, J. Riles. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it says the new amenities and added space also makes the company, or also make the company founded by. It says founded in 1987 by truck drivers Tim Rail and Jim St. John, and I can't get past that because you gotta in order for you to go read anything on the Akron Beacon Journal, you have to pay money.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, that
hey,
was just
wanna,
a cool little thing.
You want to pull one up? Yeah, you want to pull one up? Start doing some research. You want to see something funny? Start doing some research on that new electric truck they're supposed to be building in Lordstown, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's going on real good. They've got proven that that was a big scam, and they're building the sales up. They were supposed to have all these orders for this truck, and they found out that all that was fabricated. They fabricated all these sales numbers and stuff to try to get that, to push that truck, and they found out it ain't working for them. They went and tested it. Yeah. Yeah, they had it. It's been on the news for last week. They've set up around our local news up there, because being right there, Youngstown, whatever. But anyhow, Lordstown, they've been doing, that place is just about ready to fall. Union killing that place already. They're fabricating numbers, and that's never going to, that's that endurance. That endurance truck that's supposed to be built in Lordstown, Ohio. Yeah, what a joke that is. But yeah, I mean, you just start checking into that stuff. There's so much corruption. Not just in the federal government. It's state, local, federal. The corruption is just, it's terrible anymore, man. It just, you can't win with these idiots.
Well, it's just like when the Walmart concept truck, you know, it was all, what was it made out of? The carbon fiber or whatever. The trailer was carbon fiber, a $400,000 truck or trailer, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then they were testing it on flat ground between Dallas and Amarillo, and they would wake up in the morning, and if they were heading toward Dallas, and they were going to get a headwind, then they would just cancel the project that day and then not run that day and wait till they got a tailwind.
Right.
They wouldn't run the truck in a headwind, because then they knew they would lose fuel mileage, and that would make their numbers look bad. So they said, you know, we'll just wait till we get a tailwind, and that way our numbers will look good. It's like, yeah, I wish all truck drivers could do that.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Maybe that's what we all need to do, is wake up the morning with the wind's blowing, wet your fingers, stick it out the way, whoop, nope, 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 I got a headwind, I can't drive today, I got to call dispatch, look, I got to sit here, you know, I got to wait for the wind to die down before I go, because I got to get my numbers up on my fuel mileage here.
Exactly. But
my fuel mileage sucks anyhow.
Well, yeah, another great show. I'd like to send a shout-out to Load to Ride Transportation. Everybody, go check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and we appreciate their support. They got some cool trucks, cool logo, cool trailers. We hope to be spending more time with them and the Louisville Truck Show in March, and looking forward to a great relationship with those guys. You can give them a holler at 720-277-0030. And just let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, and we really appreciate them. We hope, like I said, we hope that they're part of us for years to come. And don't forget Trucker Tools, Trucker Tools app, truckertools.com. Download the app, let them know. DPF Regeneration, we appreciate them. And the other one is Trucker Tax Tools. We don't mention them that much, but they're a great little outfit, and they're always they love trucking, and they love the shows and taking care of the drivers and all that stuff. So we appreciate them. So great show, guys, and I hope we can do it again next week. Sounds like fun, huh?
Yep. Yeah, it sounds like a pretty good show tonight. I mean, like I said, you got people to agree to disagree. That's what it's all about. You know, you don't have
there
to be in agreement. But call in and give us your input. You know,
there you go. That's
we can hash it out on the air, you know. But, you know, It ain't about being upset with each other and causing hate and discontent. It's everybody's got their own opinion, and everybody's got the option of expressing their own opinion, right or wrong. It doesn't matter. That's what the world's based on. So that being said, hey, I'm going to get off of here. Enjoy talking to you today, you and Robbie. You'll give me a call after the show, and I'll give you a call tomorrow night. Yeah, while you're
Sounds
working,
good.
I'll give you a quick call. We'll talk at you later. But everybody drive safe, and just do the best you can. Take it for what it is, because the only ones out here that can solve the problem is us. You know, we've got to control our own destiny.
That's
nobody,
right.
nobody's going to look at it out for you but you yourself anymore. So that being said, y'all have fun. Take care.
Good night. Good deal. Good deal.
Good
night to you. Hey, you too, Robbie. Be safe out there.
Oh, we'll do.
Well, good deal.
You do the same.
All right, now. All right, now. Good deal. Yeah, great show tonight, everybody. Stay safe. Stay successful out there. We're going to close it out with some Johnny Cash and just let everybody rumble through the night. So like I said, stay safe. Stay successful. We'll see you next week. RedneckAndEyes.com. Don't forget YouTube, all that good stuff. And keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line, far from Folsom Prison. That's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Truckers at Redneck and Eyes want to invite you to check out their live podcast, Redneck and Eyes, All Things Trucking and Then Some, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Just call 516-387-1733 and join the conversation. When everything goes wrong, you got a Redneck and Eyes.